Welcome to A Word Fitly Spoken, a podcast about Jesus, His Word, and our joy in following Him. I'm Amy Spreeman.
And I'm Michelle Leslie. Welcome to our third episode in our series on addressing objections to discernment. Now, for the past couple of weeks, we've been going over some of the most common arguments people make when discerning Christians warn against false teachers. Amy and I get these arguments when we write articles about false teachers, and you might get them when you share our articles on social media or even when you approach your church leadership about a problematic Bible study curriculum or a conference speaker or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. And we want to help you answer those objections kindly, with grace, and most of all, biblically. So if you haven't listened to our previous episodes in this series, you'll want to go back and give those a listen. We're going to hook those up in our program show notes tonight. So let's take a look, Michelle, at our first objection for this episode, and that is, that teacher might not always be right, but doesn't mean she's a false teacher. We all get things wrong. You know, we hear that. hear that all the time. Yes. And of course, we all get things wrong. Like, the only perfect teacher who never got anything wrong was Jesus. Every pastor or Bible teacher gets something wrong at some point. So, you know, if we follow the logic of this argument, that would mean that we would be accusing every pastor and Bible teacher in the history of the New Testament church of being a false teacher. Of course, that includes Paul and the apostles, because they have made all sorts of mistakes in their preaching at some point. But, you know, we would even be accusing ourselves of being false teachers, because we've all made mistakes, right? We've made mistakes too.
So that's right.
Yeah, we're certainly not accusing ourselves, the apostles, and every pastor and teacher in the last 2,000 years of being false teachers.
That's right. But, you know, we're not talking about good, generally doctrinally sound pastors and teachers who occasionally make a mistake in what they've taught. That's not what we're talking about here. Right. When that happens to a generally doctrinally sound pastor, and that mistake is brought to their attention according to Scripture, you know what those doctrinally sound pastors and teachers do? They repent, and they can't get to their pulpit or their class or their audience fast enough in their eagerness to correct their error. Yeah. And it's not that way with false teachers. I mean, these people aren't just making little oopsies from time to time. They're consistently teaching blatant biblical error as a way of life. And when someone rebukes them for it, according to Scripture, what they generally do is dig in their heels, double down on the error. And, you know, they often attack and slander the person who's rebuking them. Yes. So kind of think of it like this. You've got two guys, Bob and Joe. Now, Bob is a decent guy. He's a careful driver. He obeys the speed limit and all the traffic laws. He takes every precaution. And yet one day he accidentally hits and kills a pedestrian. He's grieved. He turns himself in. He does everything in his power to make up for what he did. Okay, so we got, that's Bob. Now we've got Joe. Joe, on the other hand, is not such a swell guy. And he wakes up next Tuesday and decides, hey, I think I'll become a serial killer. And not only that, when the cops show up to arrest me, I'm going to kill them too. Now these are two very different guys, obviously. Right. But even though the end result of Bob's and Joe's actions is the same, the death of another person, we would never lump those two guys in the same category or think that they should be given the same punishment. These guys have two totally different motivations, and the situations that they're in are about as different as they could be. And in the same way, there's a big, big difference between a pastor who generally preaches sound doctrine, makes an innocent mistake, repents of it, corrects it, and goes on to teach and preach sound doctrine, and a person who unrepentantly and despite continued rebuke wallows in false doctrine and rebelliously keeps teaching it.
Yeah, that's right. Ladies, we can't pretend that these two are the same. These are not innocent mistakes these teachers are making and repenting of. This is continuous, rebellious proclamation of false doctrine. And Michelle, I don't know if you saw that. I'm sure you did. I have an example for the ladies to think about.
And, oh, that's good.
Recently, a popular megachurch speaker, I can't call him a pastor, Stephen Furtick did a sermon at his Elevation Church where he put the words in Jesus' mouth at the end of his earthly ministry. Furtick has Jesus telling his disciples, I'm not leaving you. I'm just changing forms, which is what the heresy of modalism teaches, that God is not three persons, but they're all, the Holy Spirit and the Son and the Father are the same God in different modes. And there was another time when he taught recently that Jesus sinned. So, and this is just the latest in a litany of horrible, right, horrible doctrines that Furtick is teaching. So when people rightly warned others, they got a lot of pushback, and they were either, you know, called names like Pharisee. When a teacher teaches a different Jesus than the one found in the Bible, we're not being Pharisees. We're just trying to warn others. And I can tell you that we don't throw out the word heretic very often, but in this case, right, it is very true and very warranted. Mr. Furtick has been teaching false doctrine for years, and these weren't just a couple of innocent mistakes.
That's right. And, you know, it really is to be expected, because one of his mentors is T.D. Jakes, and T.D. Jakes is a modalist himself. So, you know, it was only a matter of time until Stephen Furtick started heading that direction too. So that's another thing that, you know, we want to just throw in right there, is watch out for teachers who are hanging around with known heretics and false teachers. That's why we say, you know, things like birds of a feather flock together. You lie down with the dogs, you get up with the fleas. You know, that's what happens. So we've always got to be really careful watching for all of those things, and be very careful about who we follow.
Yes, well, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the next objection people make when we tell them that they're following a false teacher. A lot of times we'll hear this: well, maybe this teacher says some things that are wrong biblically, but she says some good things too. So I just chew up the meat and spit out the bones. Ah. And how often do we hear that one, huh?
I'm triggered. Yes. I really am.
Yeah, it's this whole idea that it's okay to keep listening to and following false teachers and just believe the biblical things they say and ignore the rest.
Michelle, I would just add that the Bible has zero bones to spit out. It's the most wholesome spiritual food you're ever going to eat. So why would you want to consume something that's dangerous, that could make you choke? People die choking on bones. Restaurants, you see it all the time. So when you see someone choking, what do you do? Well, you do whatever you can to dislodge the obstruction. And yeah, if that isn't a metaphor right there for what we want to do with, pure meat versus meat with bones in it. Right. I don't know what is, but we hear it all the time, unfortunately. And like we've said with some of the other objections, where are people coming up with this idea? Where does scripture, chapter and verse, please, in context, say that chewing up the meat and spitting out the bones is the way we are to deal with false teachers? Spoiler alert, it doesn't say that anywhere. In fact, it says just the opposite. It says that we are to have nothing to do with false teachers, and that if we embrace them, we are taking part in their wicked works. So let's take a look at some of the scriptures that we do know that tell the truth always. Romans 16:17 says, "I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them." Very clear. And then 2 John 9:11 says, "Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works." Wow. And then 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God." And then Ephesians 5:11, "Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them." So there's a bunch of verses right there. And if we believe what scripture says, and we do, and we want to obey it, there's really no way we can chew up the meat and spit out the bones. And Michelle, here's something else to think about. If you're constantly sitting under a teacher who mishandles God's word and who mixes bones in with the meat, how are we ever going to learn how to distinguish meat from bones? You know, if you don't understand your Bible properly because you're not being taught properly, how do you know what to chew up and what to spit out?
Really, that is so true. I mean, I don't know how anybody thinks that if they're sitting under somebody who mixes meat with bones, that they're going to be able to distinguish one from the other and protect themselves by only believing what's biblical. They're just not going to be taught that. And, you know, here's a question I get sometimes that's kind of related to what we're talking about. People will say, I know that teacher so-and-so is a false teacher, but what about this one particular book she wrote? Would it be okay to use just this one book that seems kind of okay-ish? Well, I would just go back to those passages that we just read and ask, what does Scripture say? Because that's supposed to be our determining factor. Scripture is our authority, and we do what Scripture says, regardless of what our, you know, opinions might be. So what do those passages say? Watch out for these false teachers. Avoid them. Do not receive him, the false teacher, into your house, or give him any greeting. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. You know, these passages don't say avoid this false teacher, except for this one book that seems like it might be okay. It says avoid him. Avoid him. All of his books, all of his conferences, all of his teaching, all of his online presence, his social media, his blog, YouTube channel, podcast, whatever. We are to avoid him altogether as an entity, I guess you could say. Yes. Because really, if you say, well, I know he's a false teacher, but this one book is okay, then you're basically saying that you're going to chew up the meat and spit out the bones just on a larger, more macro scale than people usually mean when they use that phrase.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, some of our listeners might wonder, well, what about a teacher who started off pretty doctrinally sound, wrote a few good books during that time, and then went off the rails later? Maybe somebody like Mark Driscoll, Francis Chan, would it be okay to use his earlier stuff? Well, I need to first start off by saying I've never read any of Mark's or Francis's works, earlier works, so I don't know how doctrinally sound they were even back then, but let's just assume for a minute that their early books were good and they were biblical and all of that. My answer to can you still use those old supposedly good materials, my answer would still be no.
Yeah.
And here's why. First of all, they're all wrapped up in New Apostolic Reformation doctrine, false doctrine now. And again, going back to those passages we just looked at, those passages are also talking about people who are false teachers now. None of those passages make any exception for any sort of ministry or materials these false teachers produced before they became false teachers.
That's right. And in 2 Timothy 2:17 through 18, we see something very similar. Paul says this, Hymenaeus and Philetus have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some. So they have swerved from the truth, which means that at one time they were aligned with the truth, but Paul deals with them as they are right now in the present time as men who are currently teaching false doctrine. So I don't know if Hymenaeus and Philetus ever wrote any books, you know, before they swerved from the truth, but if they had, it doesn't sound like Paul would have told the church, it's okay to use them. And that was really the most important reason we don't use materials by false teachers, because Scripture tells us not to. Pretty clear.
That's right.
As Christians, we are to be obedient to God's word, even if it seems like disobeying it would be no big deal. If it was a big deal for God to give a certain instruction, it's a big deal enough for us to obey that instruction.
That is absolutely true. Like I said a minute ago, Scripture is our authority, not our preferences, not our opinions on the matter. And a lot of times, you know, if we just think it through, we can see some of the practical reasons behind God's instructions. I mean, think about it. You buy an old Francis Chan book. Mm-hmm. You're not financially supporting the doctrinally sound guy he used to be. You're supporting the false teacher he is now, you know?
Right.
Or, you know, if you're cheap like me, maybe you think, well, I'll check out his book from the library. That won't you know, I won't be financially supporting him. Well, that's wrong, because libraries keep track of how many times an author's books are checked out. And yeah, the more popular an author is, the more of his books they buy. And they're not just going to be buying his old, supposedly doctrinally sound stuff. They're, even if they do buy some of that stuff, they'll also be buying his new false doctrine stuff, because that's really, you know, that's a hotter ticket. It's going to be a lot more popular than his old stuff.
I didn't even think about that. That's a great point.
Yeah. So, and we'll think about this too. So you get your old Francis Chan book and you leave this book lying around on your coffee table, and your undiscerning friend from church comes over and sees it. Mm-hmm. She knows you're a mature Christian, so she thinks, well, I'll check this guy out. I'll check this author out. She's not discerning, so she's not going to draw any distinctions between what he used to teach and what he's teaching now, and she's going to get caught up in all this NAR foolishness.
Well, I think, you know, God's instructions not to chew up the meat and spit out the bones, but to avoid the false teacher altogether, it just makes sense, good sense. You know, and I was just thinking about that, you know, instead of, we need to just look for teachers to provide solid, nourishing food. You know, those teachers who faithfully teach verse by verse through the scripture year after year. I mean, it doesn't sound very attractional, right? But it is what the Bible tells us to do, tells preachers to do. You know, and those preachers are to be commended. 2 Timothy 4:2 tells preachers, you know, Timothy, preach the word, be ready in and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. And then it says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. That is what we're seeing right now. So yes, I would just say, ladies, stick with what we're supposed to be doing in scripture.
Absolutely. You know, and I would even add one more thing. There are lots of great doctrinally sound teachers out there. I mean, even from the pastor of your own church to, you know, people like John MacArthur and Phil Johnson, Justin Peters, lots of people out there. Yeah. Why would you want to do the extra work of trying to sort out meat from bones when you could just go to somebody who just gives you meat? Right. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, I'm even just from a laziness perspective, why would you want the extra work of doing that? You know, even just for practical reasons. But also, you know, we need to honor these teachers who have been teaching doctrinally sound material for years and years and years, and not give our honor, you know, and our finances and things like this to people who are just, they don't make the effort, or maybe they don't know sound doctrine, or maybe they're intentionally trying to deceive. Why would we give our honor, our finances, our time, our energy to someone like that when we could give it to someone who deserves it, who labors hard for the Lord and who's faithful to the Lord and who cares for the sheep under his purview? You know, we really need to ask ourselves what our motivation is. Why would I prefer to listen to someone that I know is not doctrinally sound all the time, instead of listening to someone that I know has a good track record of being doctrinally sound? Why would I want to do that? Maybe it's time for a little soul searching on our parts for that. So
yeah, and I think once we soul search, I think what we'll always find when we ask ourselves that question is that there's something going on with the flesh that seems to need to have the flesh in the pan, the stuff that is attractional and entertaining rather than good solid food, good meat.
Right. It's really a form of idolatry, I think, that our flesh just, there's a heart problem there, that we want something that's false more than we want God's truth. So that it's really, it's not just a surface issue. It's really a heart issue. So ladies, if you're drawn to those people where you have to sort out the meat from the bones, ask yourself why that is. Examine your heart in light of scripture and really give that some serious thought, because there's a heart issue going on there when you know you have the choice of listening to other people who will teach you the truth of God's word, even if it doesn't scratch your itching ears.
Oh, amen.
Yeah. And that's going to wrap it up for another episode of A Word Fitly Spoken. Don't forget to stop by awordfitlyspoken.life to check out the show notes for this episode and to support us through PayPal or Patreon. And you know what? It's almost time for another Glad You Asked episode where we answer questions. Yeah, we answer questions sent in by our listeners. So while you're at awordfitlyspoken.life, click on the contact tab or send us a private message on social media through Facebook or Twitter, or if I can figure it out how to answer messages on Instagram, send one through Instagram and send us a question you'd like us to answer. And until next time, avoid those false teachers and walk worthy.